Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Now, as I said, Jake and I both serve. Jake in the Army, myself in the Navy. And our next guest, well, she is a veteran as well. And she is doing something pretty incredible right now. She is Denise Rohan, the new National Commander of the American Legion, and, as we'll find out here in just a moment, a bit of a trailblazer, as she is the first female National Commander of that 2 million member organization. Denise, good morning, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Good morning, and thanks for having me in this morning.
It's absolutely a pleasure. So before we talk about the Legion, let's talk about Denise Rohan, the veteran. Tell me about your service, when you joined, how long you served, and what you did.
Well, I joined in 1974. Right out of high school. I grew up in a small town in Iowa, joined the Army, went in. They call it logistics now. In the 70s, it was supply quartermaster. Mm. So during my time in the military, I was in for 2 years, and that's when I met my husband.
Very cool.
So, and then they couldn't station us together, so I got out and became a military spouse.
And how long did that continue for?
Well, that continued on for another 18 years.
Wow.
So until his retirement. So, yeah. And just a few years ago, our son realized that he was a military kid. So it's like...
just recently.
Just recently. Like, he's in his 30s. It's like, hey, wait, I was a military kid. I'm like, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you were.
Exactly.
Now, during your service, you remember, of course, you served 2 years. What do you remember about that transition time for you, going from Denise the soldier to Denise the military spouse?
Military spouse. Well, my theme this year is family first. And it really is all about being a family. The American Legion takes care of one another. And the process of going from being in the military, having a connection, having a family. Well, when you leave your hometown, go in the military, you get new brothers and sisters. That's what basic training teaches you. You have to depend on one another. You go from base to base. You got that family connection. And when you get out, it's like there's no family. Yeah. Now, we didn't have the transition assistance program like they do now, which we're trying to help make sure gets improved. But as a family, when you get back in your home communities, or some people don't go back to their home communities, you get that connection through the American Legion family, because we've all been through the same thing. And as part of that family, now I've been in office for 5 weeks now. Our sympathy goes out to everybody in Las Vegas, what they're going through, the families, the friends, and the first responders. We're so proud of them. 5 weeks in office, and we've had hurricanes in Texas, hurricanes in Florida. Yeah. We have American Legion family down in Puerto Rico. And then we have American Legion down in Mexico, too. And I'm like, 5 weeks in office, and we've got disasters happen all over the place. But the American Legion family continues to step up. And what I really like about the family, and a big part of my Legion career is spent coordinating blood drives. Because it's the blood that's on the shelves when a disaster happens that saves lives. So I encourage everybody right now, continuously, to go out and donate blood. And it happens to be one of the four pillars of the American Legion, which is national security, making sure that our nation's taken care of and making sure that blood supply is there when it needs to be there, because donating blood today won't help somebody who's in the hospital today who needs it.
Right.
And as we look at all those disasters that are going on in Texas and Florida, Puerto Rico, all of those blood drives in those areas needed to be canceled. So across the nation, we need to step up, continue to donate blood. Now,
absolutely. Yeah, an important thing there. Now, Denise, you left the service in 76, became a military spouse for another 18 years after that.
Exactly.
When did you join the Legion? When did you become a Legion member?
Well, the story of me joining the Legion is kind of a funny one. I think it's funny.
Okay.
Back about 37 years ago, a Legion member came to our house to recruit my husband. And I identified myself as an eligible veteran. And that Legionnaire happened to say, well, women join the auxiliary, not the Legion.
Oh.
Yeah. And I sort of went, but... And I took it. I'm like, okay, fine. That's fine. I got other things I can do with my time. A couple years later, we moved to another town. And in that town, the American Legion welcomed me in, and they actually had a job for me to do. So I joined the Legion, became active. I learned about all of the wonderful things we do. And then slowly I started working my way up the chain of command in post commander, then became a district commander. And I eventually, back in 2011, became the first female state commander for Wisconsin.
Wow.
Now, when I became state commander, I happened to go back and visit that original post. And when I went back to that original post who denied me membership, I noticed they had a picture of me on the wall. And above that picture, above that picture was, she could have been a member of this post.
Wow.
Women are veterans too.
That, and I was going to ask if you ever saw that recruiter for the Legion who came looking for you, if you ever saw him and said, hey, nice to meet you.
Yeah, we did see each other. He claims he doesn't remember ever coming to our house.
I bet he doesn't. He's probably forced that memory out of his head.
Exactly.
And that's, you know, an interesting thing. The first female state commander and now the first female national commander of the American Legion. What does that mean to you? Obviously, you dealt with sexism from that American Legion recruiter, and that was kind of your introduction to the Legion, which probably would have turned some people away from the organization, but clearly not the case with you.
Not the case with me. I happened to be a young mom at the time, so I was like, I got things I can do. I can keep myself busy. The Legion was founded back in 1919, and way back in 1919, our forefathers understood that a veteran was a veteran, and it didn't matter what their race was or their gender. So back in 1919, when we were founded, a woman could vote for national commander before they could vote for president of the United States. So since then, since all that time, women have been in leadership positions in this organization. It's either been they're leading from behind or they're leading from the front. It's just times are changing. Women's roles are changing throughout the United States. So we're almost 100 years old. When you look at the number of male veterans compared to female veterans.
Yep.
99 years to make the first female veteran national commander. Ratio makes sense.
Right. Yeah. I mean, when people think about numbers, they might think, well, half of the population is female. Then you point out to them, well, it's not half of the military population.
Exactly.
And not only that, but I'm not sure, and I'm not certainly not going to ask, but the age of a national commander of an organization is typically going to be someone who's been around in the organization for quite a while. And if you go back to the period of time in, you know, when you served in the 70s, now we might have one out of every 10 veterans being a female. It wasn't quite the case back when you served, was it?
That's correct. It was a whole lot less than that. So, and even in the military itself, as I was coming into supply, which seems like a thing that would be open to anybody, supply was just getting open to females. And I don't understand why.
Yeah.
And I'm sure 50 years from now, women are going to go, why weren't women allowed in combat 50 years ago?
Yeah.
I mean, times are changing.
They certainly are. And we can look at the Marine Corps, who's had two big announcements.
Exactly.
The first graduate of the Marine Corps Infantry Officer Course, as well as the Amphibious Assault Course, I believe, as well. So, you know, when you look around at the female veteran experience and the female military experience as it stands now, how different is it from when you served as we're looking at now, what, 40 years ago?
Yeah, 40 years ago. And when I look at females that are in the military, female veterans, I have to always go back to the woman who was one of my mentors, who was a World War II vet.
Right.
And to think that what a trailblazer she was, and the women who served in World War I, women have been serving all these years. They're trailblazers. And it's funny for me to think of myself, people look at me as a trailblazer, and I'm like, oh, I'm nothing compared to what some of these other women have gone through and what they've done. It is absolutely amazing to see all the stuff that women are doing across history now.
I wouldn't say you're nothing, because you are the national commander of the American Legion. And we're speaking to Denise Rohan, who is 5 weeks into her year. It's a year elected term as national commander of over 2 million members in the American Legion. So a little bit of pressure on you, Denise, over this next year. Let me ask about that year. You said family first, but overall, what is your plan as national commander of the Legion?
So I go with that family first theme because, as I mentioned before, we get a new family when you join the military. And as you go along, you get that sense of community by hanging around with other veterans, and you care about each other. Now, when the war on terrorism began, and I'm out of Madison, Wisconsin. When the war on terrorism began and we started seeing the military personnel, our National Guard and reservists getting called up, there's a hole left in your community. There's a hole left in a family when a National Guardsman gets called up. And as the American Legion, we stepped in and we try to help take care of the families as National Guardsmen or being deployed, men and women. And we go to their deployment ceremonies and we say, hey, what can we do to make sure that you're taken care of on the battlefield? And their answer is always the same to us. Their answers always say, take care of my family. I'm more concerned about my family and they're taken care of. And as I've been working with some of the children of our deployed military, those kids are being asked to be resilient. And resiliency in those kids means that they have to grow up a little bit faster because somebody's missing out of their household, their mom, their dad. Mm. They have to grow up. They have to take care. They have to step into adult roles. So the American Legion is there to make sure that whatever vacancy is there, whatever need needs to be filled, we have funds available for temporary financial assistance. Water heater goes out. If something goes wrong in that household, the American Legion family is there to step up and help in however way we can.
As someone who is a Legion member yourself, and mm-hmm. as you said, been working your way up the chain of command, when you've looked around the American Legion and now as National Commander, getting to see things on the full scale, what are you extremely happy with that the Legion is doing? And what things do you wish the Legion would do a little bit differently or a little bit better?
Okay. It's amazing to get to travel across the United States. I've had 2 years worth of campaigning. And in those 2 years, I got to see all 49 states. I missed Hawaii, 49 states, but I also got to visit Puerto Rico.
Oh, okay.
And during that time, I'm thrilled to death with the Legionnaires, the veterans that I have met, and to hear their stories, because their stories you can't read about in a history book. They all have personal stories, and they can all write their own pages in history because it's so amazing to listen to them. But as I travel, what I hear a lot is you can't get anything passed on Capitol Hill. That, you know, our big government doesn't care about us. But then you look at all the successes. We have national staff here in Washington, D.C., and the national staff is working hard with our legislators each and every day up on the Hill.
Yep.
And we just got some major pieces of legislation passed.
Oh, yeah.
Because our legislators care about our veterans, and they're taking care of them. So we had the accountability bill was passed, appeals modernization, the Forever GI Bill was just passed. And I know you've been talking about our 100th anniversary is coming up, and
yep.
we have a centennial coin bill, which was just passed. It passed both the House and the Senate, which in a four-day period, and that's pretty much unheard of. But then as I travel, I get to trumpet those successes. Then as I travel, our veterans are talking about the CHOICE program, VA healthcare. When I get into rural communities, northern Wisconsin, Kansas, Montana, veterans have a distance to travel. And the CHOICE program is confusing. And they've asked me to explain it to them, and I can't explain it to them because there's so much involved. So as I've been visiting Washington this week and talking to our legislators, it's one of our important things is make it easier to understand, make it easier to use.
Right.
And give me something that I can just take one piece of paper and go, this is what you need to know. But
it can be confusing for the veteran, and especially as things change. As you mentioned,
exactly.
all this new legislation comes with it a lot of change, and
yeah.
things that have been operating in one way for a veteran of, let's say, the Korean War, who's been a veteran now for 60 plus years, and now things all of a sudden are going to change. And they, you know, trying to figure out and learn exactly what to do now, certainly a difficult thing. And that's certainly one of the ways that the Legion can help, not just their membership, but also veterans as a whole. How important is that to you, where you have 2 million American Legion members that you answer to, but I know the Legion does a lot for the veteran community in general as well.
Exactly. And I'm just going to put this out there. I can't possibly talk about all the wonderful things the American Legion does. So we have a website, legion.org. I encourage people to go out there, check it out, legion.org. There is so much information out there to talk about. We're founded on four pillars. And our four pillars, no particular order, but the first one I always like to talk about is Veterans Affairs and Rehabilitation, taking care of our vets. The national security part of it is taking care of our military personnel and their families, because taking care of their families makes it so that our well-trained personnel are more apt to reenlist when it's time for them to reenlist. Our other two pillars have to do with Americanism and our children and youth. So it really is. When I look at that family first theme, in reality, the American Legion family takes care of our nation's families, and we're making sure that everyone can feel safe. Our military personnel are taking care of us. we're in our community saying, hey, what can we do to make sure that you're feeling safer in your communities?
And that is such an important thing. Also important, as you mentioned, the legislation. We're speaking with the National Commander of the American Legion, Denise Rohan. As we saw with that legislation, and as we saw with people who are not necessarily Legion members, some of them are, some aren't, the other VSOs, the VFW, the Disabled American Veterans, AMVETS, Student Veterans of America, all these groups, it seems that we're seeing more and more cooperation between the VSOs. Is that something that you hope continues during your year in office?
I do hope it continues. And I, of course, encourage membership in the American Legion, as all the VSOs. But as you join veteran service organizations, your voice gets to count. So if you happen to belong to more than one, your voice may get to count more than once. And that's not a typical political thing to say. But because I belong to the American Legion, and I belong to the American Legion's auxiliary, and I happen to belong to the VFW's auxiliary, my voice gets to count more than once. So join us and become part of strengthening this nation, strengthening the benefits that that all of our veterans earned. It's not a handout.
No. And let's talk about membership very briefly, in that as I'm a VFW member myself, not a Legion member yet, maybe at some point.
Okay.
We'll see.
Okay.
The membership has skewed older and older. Part of that being that the World War II vets were such a huge number coming out of World War II and were much younger. And then the Korean vets, a smaller number, Vietnam vets, smaller number. I mean, the number of veterans has decreased, but the newer veterans, the younger veterans, the Iraq and Afghanistan veterans, it seems that to an extent, the VSOs, the traditional VSOs that we know so well, have had a difficulty either finding them or then maintaining their membership after they join. What do you think about that? And what do you think can be done to address that, if anything?
Well, first, it's awareness. So again, I say legion.org, so you can see all the wonderful things we're doing across this nation. But when you think about our veteran service organizations and who has the time to work and volunteer their time right now, our younger veterans, they've got their families, they're working. I'm not saying they're not joining, but what you see, the people who are actually in the communities doing some of that work, what you see are Vietnam era veterans, because we're retired now and we have the time and our families are grown and so we have that time. Just like, well, I joined 33 years ago. I wasn't that active in my community. So the face of the American Legion at that time was World War II and Korean vets. What you're seeing in the community doing the work are the retired veterans who have the time. But we are encouraging our younger veterans to join. We just got to get the word out to say, hey, this is what we do. This is who we are. And at some point, they'll understand. You know, they're going to look at us and go, hey, we need to pay this forward to continue this organization. We're almost 100 years old, and we're going to continue on for
maybe another 100, maybe another 200, you know, who knows where it will end.
That's right.
It's not going to end anytime soon, and particularly with leadership like Denise Rohan, who clearly has a good plan for her year, that she's going to be at the forefront of the American Legion. And what does that feel like, knowing that you are kind of going to be the face of the Legion for the next year? Is that something that you, obviously, you ran for that office, you were elected to it. Is it something that, I mean, why do you want to do that? A lot of people would know, all that pressure that comes along with it.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, all that. Yeah, it's really, it's a two-year campaign process. And during that campaign process, there were times where I was like, do I really want to do this? And I get kind of nervous. And then my husband, who's also a Legionnaire, would remind me, he'd say, you're the one. There's 2 million members and you were the one. And I'm like, is that supposed to make me feel more comfortable about this whole thing? This is really, it's scary. It's like every emotion you could possibly imagine. But then you look at everything that our organization does, and if I can make a difference, what I miss the most, being national commander, what I miss the most is the grassroots work that we used to do in our communities. And I haven't been able to do that for a couple of years. So as I was getting elected, we went back to our home post, and I'm like, keep the place together because we're going to come back and we're going to be, you know, back active in our community. And telling the National Guard folks that we spent so much time working with, it's like, we're going to be back. We're just, you know, going to do all this good stuff across the nation. It is a scary proposition to be the first female national commander. People are looking up to me. Female veterans are expecting special things out of me. And female veterans have concerns and they have issues that male veterans don't have.
Right.
I need to sort of do a way in there and say, hey, I represent the entire organization, male and female. But we do have a female veteran coordinator here in Washington, D.C., and she's working to make sure that they're doing surveys. A lot of female veterans don't identify themselves as veterans. So it's really important that we say, instead of, are you a veteran, did you serve in the military? It's really strange because we have a lot of our veterans, not just females, but males also, who don't feel that their service counts because they may not have gone overseas. They may not have been in a battle situation. But the fact that they served in the military, they raised their hand, they said that they were ready to defend this nation, those are the veterans we're looking for. We're looking for, and it's, and as you mentioned in the beginning, it's not just the veteran who serves. It's the entire family that serves. The wives, the kids, all these kids, again, I keep going back to it, but kids, when a military personnel transfers from one base to another, kids have to say goodbye to their friends and start new schools. That's, I can't even imagine what that's like.
Me neither.
Yeah.
And as I was single during my entire time in the military, so transferring and PCSing, it's pretty simple. Pack up my garbage and then at the end be like, I hope my TV and video games get there first so I can enjoy myself. Exactly. I can't imagine those who had to do it with their family and the stress that can put on a family. And the lasting stress. I mean, it's something that can continue on. It's not just when it happens, but on after that. And I think keeping, as you said, family first in the veteran community as well as in the military community is an important and a good thing. So finishing up here, and we only have a couple minutes left, if you could give one message to every American Legion member, all 2 million plus of them in the United States, the auxiliary members, the Legion members, everybody affiliated with them, their family members, what would that message be from Denise Rohan, National Commander of the Legion?
For me, it really is. I believe we were put on this earth to take care of each other. And back 30-some years ago when I identified myself as the Legion, as a member, an eligible member, and I was turned away, I believe there are a lot of females that have been through that. I also believe there are a lot of Vietnam-era veterans who may have been through that. I just ask everybody across this nation, give the American Legion a chance. Stop by and see what we really do. Check out legion.org and just see all the fantastic things that we do. I can't imagine anyone who sees our four pillars, understands what we do, not wanting to jump at the chance to be part of our great organization and part of the American Legion family. The Legion, our auxiliary, our Sons of the American Legion, and our Legion Riders, we are taking care of this nation.
I forgot to turn my own microphone on. I was so interested in what you were saying. I'm going to put you on the spot here very quickly. If there were one program or one thing that the Legion does that you think might surprise people the most who aren't that familiar with the Legion, what would you think it is?
Wow. You know, there are so many things. I just keep thinking about all the things we used to do in our small little hometown, and people are like, I didn't know the Legion did that. It is actually the work that we do in schools across this nation.
Wow.
Going into schools and teaching about flag etiquette, but not only that, but taking the time for veterans to talk to the students so they can really know what history that each one of our members have built inside of them and those stories that they have. I could have cared less about history when I was a kid. If I could have met these veterans who actually wrote those pages in history, it would have been a lot more interesting for me.
We've been speaking with Denise Rohan, the National Commander of the American Legion, 5 weeks into her year-long term. We'll certainly have her back at another point, at least during this year. But it's been fantastic having you in studio, Denise. Again, that website for the Legion, for people who want to visit it?
It's legion.org.
Legion.org is the site, and that's where you can find out everything about the American Legion as they head into their 100th anniversary, a century of service for the American Legion, including quite a few years for Denise Rohan, and we want to thank her so much for joining us today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.